every industry gets the regulation it deserves. Now, you may or may not agree with that, but in this pivotal year of global elections where the power blocks are squaring up to each other over trade, security, and industrial policy, we shouldn't be underestimating the political climate right now. Shipping should be at the heart of those discussions, and we as an industry should be reminding politicians of the central role that national fleets and maritime sectors play in keeping economies and trade afloat. Shipping routinely professes itself to be invisible, overlooked. But that's not the case currently. Macroeconomic circumstances thrust shipping into the limelight, whether we like it or not. From supply chain vulnerabilities to energy security, government and the general public at large has never been more aware of the intrinsic role that shipping plays in our daily lives. But is this really an industry that is ready and prepared to capitalize on its visibility by having a grown-up conversation with policymakers and regulators? Well, the jury is out, I think. Reindustrialization is en vogue right now, politically speaking. Unlike some slightly deluded US voices, nobody's genuinely lobbying for a shipbuilding resurgence in Europe, but with the European elections looming, there is a compelling argument for shipping to be far more central in the EU's future industrial strategy. That's being mapped out right now. Trade is still coupled with economic growth in Europe, and the influence of European shipping on the supply chains need to be taken into account. There is an opportunity here to position shipping more centrally in whatever flavour of European politics emerges triumphant this summer. But will that opportunity be grasped? That's the question that I want to explore this week in the podcast, and I think it's an important discussion. Magda Kupczynska is the Director General for the European Commission's DG MOVE, the Directorate of Mobility and Transport. She's been at the heart of an interesting period of change when it comes to the conversation between shipping and its Brussels-based regulators. So I've asked her to join me this week alongside Sotiris Raptis, the Secretary General of the European Community Shipowners Association, ECSA, as we look at where shipping fits into the EU political strategy and what happens after the June EU elections.
Richard, I'm very privileged that you believe that I can give any prediction when it comes to the outcome of political elections. And of course, I won't give you any predictions, and nobody will. But I'll give an example going back 5 years, that namely that when European Parliament was elected in 2019, the topic of climate change and green agenda became very important, clearly, for a majority of the political parties, not only the Green parties. And that drove the agenda of European Commission straightforwardly. There was no possibility that we don't take it seriously. And we did. We had the Green Deal. We had the climate neutrality law to declare a European economy climate neutral by 2050. And then we had Fit for 55. So I can't predict, of course, what will happen. President of the European Commission declared that she's ready to run for another term. We'll need to see the outcome of the elections in terms of political groups. Then we'll need, because the first thing we'll know will in June is which political groups have the majority. In parallel to that, we'll have a discussion between member states, heads of states and heads of state and government, who will confirm Ursula von der Leyen as the president, as the next president of the European Commission. And then we'll have the exercise of her putting forward a list of key political priorities that she will, and I assume that I say she in case she's confirmed, that she believes should be the top of the agenda of the next commission. And then the whole process will start with national candidates for commissioners who will go through hearings in the European Parliament. We'll need to present how they will implement those policies. I assume that one of those candidates will be commissioner designate for transport, and we'll get a lot of questions on transport policies. And some of those questions will be about shipping. Decarbonization will definitely stay on the agenda. Even if there are questions, I just don't believe that we can walk back considering how comprehensive legislative framework we put in place for decarbonization. But the question of resilience or security will be another important topic that will be there on the agenda. Resilience in terms of climate resilience, but resilience also in terms of economic resilience or supply chains resilience or the overall resilience of Europe in view of all the unforeseen things that have been happening to us over the last couple of years. And security, meaning, of course, military security, there's no question about it that war in Ukraine is and will be an important topic and an important priority for the EU to keep supporting Ukraine. But it will also be the economic security. It will be the security for people who are affected by economic upsides, up and downturns. It will be the security in view of climate events. So I think there will be a lot about those topics. And then for all the other political priorities, I mean, let's talk on the 15th of June to see where the European Parliament is, and then possibly in autumn, where they might take on the next policy priorities of European Commission for the next 5 years stands.
I will, of course, be taking Magda up on that invitation to see if her predictions come true. But the likelihood of a second Ursula von der Leyen presidency is now pretty much inevitable. It's the mix of the political support that's going to be key to defining her next term. For instance, we don't know whether the new Commission president is going to need the votes of the Greens to form a new grand coalition, or the Liberals, or the Right. That coalition mix is going to impact the political context of business in Europe over the next 5 years. Don't forget that the incumbent president of the Commission was elected by the Parliament by a very narrow majority of just 7 votes. So there's potentially a lot riding on the detailed outcome of these elections. Now, I know that there's many of you out there, like me, who are EU political nerds and are all over this, but for those of you who aren't, here's Sotiris Raptis, Secretary General of ECSA, to explain why these elections are so important, and specifically for shipping.
I mean, they're important because we're going to elect our representatives for the next 5 years, and these representatives will approve the next Commission president, and the next how we call it in Brussels, the college of the commissioners, and I mean, this will determine also the whole political dynamics for the next 5 years. The Parliament elects the Commission, and the Commission is held accountable by the Parliament. Why is this so important for us? We were going through a period of high geopolitical uncertainty. We need to ensure the competitiveness of our industry. We need to figure out how to get to net zero by 2050, and at the same time, how to trade with the rest of the world. And this is something that we often forget in Europe, how much we rely on trade. And if we compare the numbers, the ratio of the US or the Chinese GDP to trade, it's much lower than the European one. For instance, if my memory serves me well, it's 20% of the US GDP, the ratio between the US GDP and trade. For Germany, is 100%. For France, it's more than 70%. This shows how much we rely on trade. As an economy, we import energy and we export services and goods. And what is key for the European economy is to decrease the reliance on fossil fuels that are mainly imported, and to remain and become more competitive when it comes to the exports of goods and services. So we need to strike the right balance between measures to ensure economic security in Europe and open trade. And this is something that will be, to some extent, determined by the outcome of the next European election.
Okay, so we do need to talk about the detail of why this matters to shipping specifically. The importance of European ownership within shipping has traditionally been underplayed. The power of the Greek shipping community, but actually the wider European shipping community generally, has not always been fully recognized at the European political level. But I think that is changing, whether it's the current focus on quite how much control Chinese business have, for example, in Europe's ports and trade infrastructure, or, you know, maybe the debate about scalable zero carbon fuels and how that should be directed to the right industries. Shipping is now much more visible than it was in these political discussions. So is this an opportunity for shipping to position itself at the heart of European politics, finally? Here's Magda again.
Unless an utter disaster strikes, reliability on shipping as the key instrument or key measure for trade will not go away. So the importance of the sector will be there. You mentioned European ownership, but you know, European owners of shipping companies, they still trade globally, and they are important players globally, and they will remain such. So I don't think there will be much change in it. But again, I think there can be, or maybe I'm just expressing my wish, I think there can be a growing expectation that shipping gets rid of this label of, you know, grey, dirty, and under the horizon activity that not really anybody wants to have much to do with. You know, I mentioned social. You can't make a sector attractive if it's not attractive. I mean, if it's not decent, then, you know, then it's not. No, so I think the opportunity is there, and I have really seen recently very, very positive developments. You know, I'm having discussions with the ship owners, with ICS and EXA about issues related to, you know, improving the retention, the skills, the jobs in the sector. I didn't have those conversations 5 years ago. So there's clearly something changing. But I think in times of uncertainty, this question of, you know, where will shipping sector make money will remain a question that only they can answer. And if they choose the right way of answering, then they will be in a different place to have a conversation with regulators and with national authorities, than if they make the other choice. In terms of competition, because you mentioned Chinese investments in new ports, I think this is one of the things that we have learned in the EU. The recognition of strategic or critical infrastructure is much stronger now than it was, for example, 10 years ago. We are much more attentive to who puts money where and for what reason, and this will not change. I actually expect that becoming even stronger in the years to come.
It's hardly a scoop, but you've heard it there. We are clearly going to be talking much more about China's interests in the European shipping industry after June. But what about from the industry perspective? Is shipping high profile enough within the European political conversation right now?
I think that we're in a much better position compared to a couple of years ago. This is apparent. We organized the European Shipping Summit last September, which brought together high-level politicians and industry leaders. Everybody is discussing these days about security, Europe's security, and how shipping can contribute to the energy, to the food and the supply chain security of the continent, especially during a period of high geopolitical uncertainty. I think that everybody is getting aware of the contribution of shipping. Of course, we should do much more work and to make our voice heard. in Brussels and in the institutions. But if you ask people around, more and more people recognize the fact that that European companies operate 40%, almost 40% of the global fleet. This is a geopolitical asset for Europe. This enables the EU to become a leader in the international supply chains. And this is a geopolitical asset, as added value for our continent. And of course, there is an ongoing debate in Brussels about economic security. And we should have an open discussion about it. But at the end of the day, it's about the competitiveness of our industry. We've got very ambitious climate targets, which is in fact the backbone of our industrial policy in Europe. And what is critical now is to turn the European Green Deal to a European industrial deal and to support the competitiveness of our companies. The battlefield of international competition these days among the EU, the US, and other major geopolitical and economic forces like China is the uptake of clean technologies. Nobody's investing in the uptake of fossil fuels. The Biden administration with IRA, they're trying to become champions in battery production, in electric vehicles, the same the Chinese. We've got ambitious targets in Europe. And I have to say that shipping, international shipping, is probably the only sector of the economy that has got an international climate ambition that matches the European climate ambition to become net zero by 2050. What I'm trying to say is that the measure of our success as Europeans will be whether we get there, whether we get to net zero, but importantly, how, and whether we're going to figure out how to stay or to become even more competitive than today.
So are we sitting through a new era of transparency in political engagement? Well, I'm not entirely convinced. I've sat in enough rooms with ship owners with the microphones turned off to know that there is still a trust issue at play here. But it's more than that sometimes. Shipping is considered to be apolitical. Ship owners consider themselves to be the mere humble taxi drivers of global trade. That, traditionally, was the shrugged defence of the embattled executive presented with difficult political questions. Of course, it was never really a tenable position. But with shipping now routinely an undefended pawn on the chessboard of international affairs, a strategic rethink in terms of shipping's political engagement, I think, is required. I think we need to have a grown-up conversation, both at an industrial level, but also in terms of policy and regulation. This is no longer the bad old days of confrontational meetings in Brussels in the wake of casualties like Erika or Prestige. This is about energy security. This is about Europeans' competitiveness.
You've given examples of Erika or Prestige, and okay, they were also linked to environmental issues, but they were first and foremost linked to safety. And somehow safety has become a topic that shipping finally embraced and stopped questioning. There were, as you said at the beginning, there was like, you know, we don't want it, don't change anything, we'll manage, we are managing, we've always been managing. But then once they have realized that actually competing on safety doesn't make sense, the sector has been relatively supportive of relatively forthcoming safety-related legislation, and nobody questions that we need to keep improving safety. I'm thinking that we are slowly, I stress the word slowly, seeing a change in approach when it comes to environment. You and I will remember that 7, 8, 10 years ago, talking about shipping sector embracing the theme of decarbonization was a very difficult and sometimes disappointing and sometimes desperate attempt, because they didn't want to talk about it. And now what we are seeing is, and I'm really encouraged by the outcomes of MEPC, or maybe I shouldn't build much on one specific committee, but I think that the outcome of that committee came as a surprise to everybody. It seems that shipping stopped contesting that they have to move on. And here I answer your question. I think that's what shipping needs to do. It needs, the sector needs to stop contesting the change that it has to embark on. We touch safety, environment, we may come back to that later. And then we have one more area, which is tricky, and that's the social one. The question of how to manage social aspects, seafarers training, seafarers retention in a global sector that still continues to compete on a bit, well, I will not call it race to the bottom, because there are minimum standards which are in place, but that is competing when it comes to minimum standards for seafarers. It's still ahead, but there is already a change of tune and a change, and at least ability, and quite constructive often, to engage in a discussion on that. So I actually think I will say what I've been all often saying in my discussions with the industry. They plead for visibility, but visibility brings responsibility. If you're ready for that responsibility, you will get the visibility, but not the other way around.
I think that's an important message that the industry needs to hear. I think there is a more sophisticated understanding of shipping generally at a political level now, but is that being reciprocated by an industry that, to be blunt, has to some extent hidden in the shadows over the past and shied away from political conversations? It's at best provided a fragmented approach towards the political conversation over the years. Are we as an industry engaging openly and honestly now with politicians?
I think that we're living a grand transformation of our industry. We're becoming much more extrovert at all levels, at national association levels, at European level, at international level. And everybody can witness this. There is a huge change over the last 5 years. Is it the green policies, the reason why this transformation is taking place? I don't know. What I know is that it was key to come up with constructive proposals and to show to the rest of the world what we're doing, the progress that has been made on our side, not to be shy about the stuff that we're doing in shipping, but to put in the spotlight how much we're doing and how much we contribute to the whole transformation of the economy, how much we contribute to make the whole economy low and zero carbon by 2050. Because it's impossible to do it without shipping. I think that we're much more against, much more extrovert, much more present, and we have managed to put forward concrete and constructive proposals. Mm. And we've got also the vision. I think it's really important to highlight that at international level, we've got the same targets as at European level. Mm. And when it comes to fragmentation, we shouldn't be worried about that. I think that this is something that is happening in all industries. I think it's an issue of maturity of our industry. Mm. We're going to have also different voices, but sometimes we also need to hear about different voices. We shouldn't be too worried about that. What is important is that we're present and the policymakers recognize now the progress that has been made on our side. I think that the less visible you are, the less influential you become in the policy making. And shipping is in the spotlight of a number of different policies these days. But to be honest with you, we need to become even more visible and even more present.
And of course, that's the challenge. Europe must now confront a host of supranational challenges that will require vast investments over a very short time frame, including defence, but also the green transition, digitalisation. Shipping should be central to all those discussions. But be warned, this is not just about the nominal visibility and the political cheerleading. Being present is fine, but this is going to be expensive. This is about real money. The former president of the European Central Bank, Mario Draghi, is currently drafting a much-anticipated report on the bloc's competitiveness for the European Commission. That's due to come out by the end of June. Right now, the bluster is around how the EU remains competitive in the face of China and the United States' refusal to play by the rules of international trade. That will all come out in the wash. But delve into the detail here, and Draghi's emphasis is on the importance of private investment. He's already warned that the bloc is going to have to spend an additional 500 billion euros a year to close the investment gap for the digital and green transitions alone, two-thirds of which, Draghi says, should be coming from the private sector. My point is that spouting platitudes about how shipping is central to global trade is all very well and good. We should take note of that. We should be engaging in this grown-up conversation. But as Magda says, with increased visibility comes increased responsibility. Shipping should absolutely be part of the discussion, but be warned, this is going to be an expansive and an expensive discussion. That is where we are going to leave it this week. My thanks to both Magda and Sataris for taking the time to talk to me about a complex array of subjects. You will be hearing more about it over the coming months, trust me. But for now, thank you for listening and have a good week.